This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Before we turn to our text for the day, I just want to line you up for next year. Next year, our theme for next year is The Good Book. And, by the way, I'm David. If you're new here or visiting, it's great to see you. I'm married to Alison. We're the senior pastors here, and we're very glad that you're with us. And our theme this year has been prayer, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but our theme for next year is The Good Book. And this is going to involve lots of things, having this as our theme, but the sort of foundation to the year will be reading the Bible. Reading the whole Bible in one year. All of us. Individually and together. And I got this picture of the people of Leeds Vineyard scattered around the city at different times, but it won't always be on the same day, but often on the same day, reading the same scripture, allocating that time and investing in it as a community. And we'll get to the end of the, I can't remember what the last day is, I think it's 26, sometime late in December, and we'll be able to say, we did it! We've read the Bible together. And as you do that, you're going to find yourselves being challenged. You're going to be wrestling. You're going to be inspired. You're going to be changing. It will definitely change you to read the Bible like this. As you engage deeply day by day with God's word, I promise you that if you do this, you will change. God will get to you. He'll speak to you. I know that some of you, I've had feedback as we've been trialing this, and people have said, oh, you're great, looking forward to this. Some have already started trying to get ahead. But some are going to start on the day, 1st of January, fantastic. Some of you have expressed a concern that you're not sure how you're going to do this. Is this a good idea? You'll never keep it through all the way through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Never mind the back end of Daniel. Will we make it to August when we get to Matthew and the fun stuff? And some of you, frankly, have already checked out. You've already decided you're not going to do this. If that's you, please think again. Please think again. Please join in with this. It's going to be a transformational experience, but it's not going to be easy. You can't just, it's going to take 20 to 30 minutes a day, and you can't just squeeze that into what is already, no doubt, a busy day for you. You can't just sort of do that, add it in. You're going to have to think about this. It's only 1/48th of a day, but most of us are going to have to reorganize our lives to make the time to do it properly. You might have to get up half an hour earlier every day of the year. You might have to watch half an hour less TV. Spend half an hour less on social media. Maybe drop half an hour of your hobby. You might want to do it by doing 15 minutes at the beginning of the day, 15 minutes at the end, but somehow you're going to have to find another half an hour a day. And I'd like you to start thinking about that now before we get to New Year's resolutions. It won't be easy, but that will be why it's so good to finish it. Isn't it wonderful when you finish something that's really challenging? It's not just a commitment for a few days like going to the gym or even a few weeks. It's for a year. And I want to see our lives change, and that means we're going to have to make changes about the way we live. So find 30 minutes. Start hunting for it now. This year, our theme is prayer. And we've got three more sermons on prayer this week, next week, and then the New Year's Eve. No, 30th, I think it is. Last Sunday of the year. The Maranatha prayer. Next week, we're going to look at the Consolation prayer. And then on the final Sunday of the year, we're going to look at the Thanksgiving prayer and say thank you for the year. But we started this year learning to wait. Do you remember? We learned to wait, and we spent a month in prayer and fasting on the theme of waiting on God. And many of us have testified to just how hard that was, and that is. We've learned to wait as a community, and we've had to do that, particularly with Vineyard House. That feels like it's gone on for a decade. We've had to wait as individuals, learning to leave the outcomes of things that we really wanted in God's hands. We've learned that time, we're trying to learn that time with Him is better than time on something else. It's been hard, hasn't it? No? Easy? This Sunday is the start of Advent, which is a waiting time. Advent is the waiting for the Lord of hosts and history to come. And at Christmas, we're going to be celebrating, you know, how 2,000 years ago he stepped down from glory and came as a baby. Today we're in the waiting space. We wait for him to return as king in splendor and might, wrapping up time, unveiling a new creation, a creation with no vestige of darkness or pain or sorrow, a creation full of light. And as we wait, we call him Lord, and we give him every right and every rule over our lives. We're looking at Revelation 22, verse 20. We won't be handing out the Bibles because it's just one three-word phrase, which I think you can master. I will put it up on the screen in case. Verse 20 is pretty much the last verse of the Bible. The whole of the story of the Bible, which we're going to read next year, ends here. It says in verse 20, Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Yes, I am coming soon. They've been describing all the end, the things that are going to happen at the end, and the new heaven and the new earth, and the city of God coming down to us, and all the light shining so we don't need electricity anymore. And Jesus says, the one who's been talking about this, he says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Maybe next year, 2019. Maybe next week. Maybe this afternoon. Isn't that a great thought? Don't have to buy any Christmas presents. Don't have to invite the in-laws. We'll just be in a perpetual, wonderful party. Amen, we say in response. We pray. This is the prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. If you've read the Old Testament, and you will do soon, around about July, you get to the end, and you will be struck by, if you haven't already been struck by reading it, at the ending. Or the lack of an ending. It sort of falls off a cliff, the end of the Old Testament. So if you're looking at a Bible, the left-hand side, the sort of three-quarters of it, is the scriptures put together by the Jewish canon. And then the New Testament is the promise of a new promise, a new covenant, a new testament, which is what the Christian canon put together. But the Old Testament, which is feeds in and explains and leads towards Jesus, stops around about 400 years before Jesus came. It ends with the people of Israel returning from exile back to Jerusalem. They've been ethnically cleansed and they're coming back several hundred years later. And the prophets are prophesying into their ears loudly, "Obey the Lord your God. Honor him. Be true to his ways. And prepare yourself for when the Messiah comes." They go back to Israel, back to Jerusalem with that message. Prepare yourselves to welcome the Messiah. Because when he comes, he will inaugurate the day of the Lord. They're meant to be all poised and ready. The theologian Bill Jackson describes it like this in his biblical meta-narrative book. He says, "The story awaited the Ancient of Days." This is his description of the end of the New Old Testament. "Awaited the Ancient of Days and his day. The branch, the shepherd, the servant, the anointed one, the new Exodus, the new temple, the return of God's glory, the indwelling of the Spirit, the law written on the heart, the unbreakable kingdom, and the new covenant." He's poised and ready for that. But in those last chapters, Malachi warns. The end of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, the last chapter of the Old Testament, he says, surely the day is coming. That day is coming. The day of judgment. The day when the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. What a great phrase. And he says, prepare yourself. The Messiah is coming to rescue and redeem. The day of reckoning is at hand. He says, prepare yourselves. Fear the Lord and honor his name. Come, Lord, come, was their cry and expectation. But they did not heed the prophet's warnings. And so their world slid into a cold, silent darkness for 400 years. That's a long, long Advent season. Are you prepared? Is the posture of your life to fear the Lord and honor his name? Are we prepared? When he did come, it was not as expected. They anticipated the King of Glory coming in might and splendor to overturn the dominions of the world, but he came as a Hebrew baby in the backwaters of Palestine. You notice that the usual order is for the supplicant to go to the king or queen, isn't it? That's normally, you go to the houses, you go to Buckingham Palace to get your knighthood. One does, doesn't one? One of the outstanding features of the Christian gospel is that God comes to us. Paul describes it in Philippians. He says, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself, who was everything, made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Our Christmas theme is going to be about light in the darkness. And that's one of the strong themes that comes out to describe this immense, incredible event, cosmic event of God coming as man. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. This cosmic everlasting life exploded into a dark world. This timeless royal voice roared into the silence. And yet, at the time, few saw it and few heard it. But 2,000 years later, billions of people have welcomed Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. Millions upon millions have said, come, Lord Jesus. They've seen his light, they've heard his voice, and they've been saved and redeemed. Are you one of those? Have you invited Jesus into your life as Lord? Let's just look at this phrase, this Revelation 22:20. Come, Lord Jesus. It's a prayer, and it's built out of two prayers. It's only three words, but it's two prayers. It's lots of other things as well. It's pregnant with meaning, but there are two requests, two prayers in this short phrase. At the time these words were written, at the end of the first century, the only Lord was the Roman Emperor, Domitian at the time. And it's difficult to translate the weight of this because we don't live under a tyranny in the way that threatens our lives like the Roman emperors did their subjects. If you're American, you might say, Jesus is my president. You wouldn't be executed. You'd probably get a tweet or two. You might even be sent for therapy. It might make more sense to say, Jesus is the president of my life, or Jesus is the prime minister in my life, but it doesn't really work in our culture and in our language. It's hard to bring the full weight of meaning in, but nevertheless, for the Christians of the time to say Lord and mean somebody not the emperor was a dangerous declaration, very dangerous, and they died for it. It's hard for us to imagine that. You wouldn't say it lightly then, not unless it was true. You wouldn't say that Jesus was Lord unless Jesus really was your Lord. It's not worth the risk. You are choosing to fear and honor him. You're choosing to rely entirely on him for your life and hope, because everything else was at risk when you made him your Lord. The early Christians may have said, the emperor may be temporarily in charge of the world. Have we got the emperor's crown? Yeah, that was their symbol of royalty. And you could have said that the emperor may be temporarily in charge of the world, but Jesus is in charge of me. Jesus owns my life. He is the one I fear and honor. He is the one from whom I get my identity. We sang that amazing song, I am who you say I am. So today the challenge is, who is in charge of me? Who owns my life? Who do I fear and honor? If it's not Theresa May, if it's not Donald Trump, who is it? Who owns my life? Who is in charge? Obviously, we're in an individualistic society now, and we're the little gods in our own lives, aren't we? And when you make this request, when you pray that prayer, Amen, come Lord Jesus, you're inviting Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. For him to be in charge of your life. For him to own your life. For the Holy Spirit to guide you every day. It's difficult to make the impact of this. It's not my money that I'm earning and saving and spending. I am his. And therefore, all my money is his, and that's why I tithe. That's why I give generously. That's how it impacts my life, in amongst other things. It's not my sex life to do with as I will. I am his. So what difference does that make? Lots of things. For me, it means that I am highly committed to marriage. Not just my marriage, but to marriage. Because I think it's what happens when God's in charge. When you say Jesus Christ is Lord, when you say he is Lord of your life, it's going to change your life. It makes you live differently. Somebody else is in charge, not you. Not somebody else. He owns you. He bought you. He paid the price. What does it mean to say, Lord Jesus? It's a prayer, it's an invitation. Come and be my Lord. And some of you are very uncomfortable right where you're sitting now, because the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you said the words, but you've not lived the life. I could go on. I think I made my point. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, you live in a different way to everybody else. The people of Israel weren't willing to put aside their disobedient ways in order to fear and honor the Lord. And as a result, when he came, they missed it. Unbelievable. And if we really want him to come and bring heaven to earth, and if we don't want to miss it, then we need to fear and honor Jesus and make him our Lord. So let's just stop for a second, actually, and answer this question. How do I do this? Some of you are saying, how do I do that, David? I don't want to miss him. How do I do that? It means a simple prayer of repentance and giving your life to him again and again and again. Lord, let's pray that. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for where I have turned my eyes away from you. And I have decided how to live my life at the behest of another God, maybe me. Maybe somebody else. Maybe Facebook. Maybe my children. Maybe a celebrity. Lord, forgive me for not putting my eyes on you. Lord, I repent and I turn back to you. I receive your forgiveness. And I commit to serving you as best I can and to honoring you. And to having the fear of the Lord in my life. The recognition that you are God. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Speak to me through your Spirit. Help me live in obedience to what you say to me. Amen. So, getting back to the scripture, when we say Lord, it is a request. It is a request for Jesus to take his place as Lord in our lives. It's an invitation, it's a request, it's a prayer. All in that little word, Lord, Lord Jesus. That's what you're saying. That's what you're singing. That's what you're reading. It includes repentance. It includes receiving forgiveness. It includes the indwelling of the Spirit. And then we have the other word, come. The other request, the other prayer is, Lord, would you come? Come. And that operates in several dimensions, some of which we've already explored in the invitation for him to be Lord. Advent is about, Christmas is about Jesus coming as a baby, and we sing, O come, Emmanuel, Lord with us. So in that sense of saying, come, Lord, we're remembering that he came 2,000 years ago, and that's what Christmas is about. And then we also say, come, Lord, as a personal invitation today. Please, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill me today. This is why we often pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, because it's our invitation, our invocation for him to come and fill us today and change us today and be part of our lives today and speak to us today. Be my Lord and Savior today, every day. Come, Lord, I need you. When we pray for others, come, Lord, we need you. But come is also an invocation to the Lord Jesus to come for the final time, to come and bring in a new heaven and a new earth, to return as king over all the earth, and to bring the kingdom to final fruition. You often hear me talking about how we live in the now and the not yet. We live in the in-between times. Jesus came in fulfillment of the prophecy. He was born. He lived in Palestine. He died a criminal's death, but he was risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. He granted us the presence of his Holy Spirit. And we today can invite him to come into our hearts. And we could choose to worship him as Lord and live in the fear and honor of who he is, obeying his transcendent call on our lives. Today, and we live in the between time for when he comes again. And we pray for him to come very soon, soon and very soon. Lord, come. May he come again for the final time. This afternoon. May he come. It's a prayer. Lord, come. Maranatha, come, Lord, come. So we remember the coming of the Lord as a baby. We pray today for the Lord to come and be in our lives by his Holy Spirit. And we pray for him to come and rescue us from this world and bring his new creation. Let me sum up. Revelation 22:20 says, yes, I am coming soon, Jesus says. And we say in reply, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We started 2019 learning to wait. And many of us have testified how hard that's been, trying to learn to wait, to learn patience, to learn that time with him is better than time spent elsewhere. And this Sunday is the start of Advent as we wait for the Lord of hosts and history to come again. And at Christmas we celebrate and remember how he stepped down from glory and came as a baby. Today we wait for him to return as king in splendor and might, wrapping up time. Unveiling a new creation which looks like this but has no vestige of darkness or pain or sorrow, but is full of light. And as we wait, we call him Lord, and we fear and honor him, and we give him every right and rule over our lives. And we hear him say, yes, I'm coming soon. Maybe next year. Maybe next week. Maybe today. And we pray, amen. Come, Lord Jesus.